The Tefl Commute, Season 16, Episode 4, Snow.
Hello, here we are again, another Tefl Commute. Who's with me today?
Lindsay is with you today.
I'm Sandy.
I don't believe it. Is that really Sandy?
It is Sandy. I'm actually here.
Wow.
Welcome back, Sandy.
Yeah,
welcome back. Good to have you back with us. Good to have
nice
you back.
Nice to be back.
Wow, you've been a bit busy, haven't you?
I have. I just finished my dissertation, which meant I couldn't do anything extracurricular for a little while.
I know, dissertation. I remember doing mine a few years ago. They're horrible, aren't they? Take a little
it was
bit
great.
While.
I really enjoyed it.
But yeah, I mean, they're good from the research point of view.
While I was doing it.
Yeah. And now you're like, what do we do with all this time?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I know. I'll go record a podcast.
Record Tefl Commute episodes, obviously.
So, hello, everyone. Hello. Welcome back to a new episode or another episode of the Tefl Commute. We are, oh no, Lindsay set me up. We are a podcast that often talks about teaching, but it's not supposed to be there or whatever. I've done it, Lindsay. I've murdered it. Lindsay, what is it?
The Tefl Commute. We're a podcast for language teachers. That's not about language teaching, but the topic always seems to come up.
There you go. That's how it should be done. I mean, we've only been making this for so many years, 100 odd episodes, and we still can't get the tagline right. And I think, as usual, the topic will come up today, because today we're talking about snow, which seems really relevant given there's a storm outside. Not a snowstorm, but there is a storm outside.
Well, not so relevant for me in Spain, where it's sort of 23 degrees still outside. But I, coming from Canada, I can identify. I can reach back to my memory and conjure up snow things relating to.
Did you move to Spain to escape
school?
Snow?
Well, partly yes, partly well for lots of reasons, but escaping cold was one. Didn't bank 20 years ago that I'd be escaping cold into like boiling murderous heat in the summer, which is only getting worse. So now I'm kind of like thinking, well, a little bit of cold and snow might be okay. But yeah,
I did that though. I ended up teaching in Greece, and I realized didn't really realize it got to about 46 degrees in Athens in the summer. So to pay back for that, I moved to the Czech Republic, where at the time it got to minus 25 in the winter. It was kind of a real turnaround. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, Sandy, you'd have done the Czech Republic.
Yeah, I did minus 20 in the Czech Republic and in Poland, and I've done plus 35 in Paraguay, and I don't like either of them. So now I live in the UK,
which can't make up its mind either way.
Yeah,
exactly. We can be sort of like uniformly miserable all year.
And so
we seem to have a weekly storm. We're on Storm D already of the winter. Debbie, I think it's called this one.
Yeah.
I mean, this one is a very windy one. So it's interesting, but no snow yet.
That's not going to stop us, though, because by the time this releases, maybe so many of our listeners will have experienced their first snowfall of the year. As usual on the commute, we take a topic and tackle it from like teaching, language, and other aspects. What I thought maybe we could do is start off like with the teaching aspect, and with snow, not so much teaching snow, but teaching under snow. I mean, or
teaching in an igloo, you mean?
Teaching what snow has happened, because we had this chat about this episode, sort of like, how does this relate? And then all of a sudden, all of us could remember things where like being teaching in a class and the first snow begins to fall if you're with younger learners and like the class just stops and someone's like, it's snowing. And everyone, you know, well, in my experience, runs to the window, you know, your explanation or your activities cut off right there, you know, and people are looking.
Unless you're teaching in the Czech Republic where it snows.
So I taught in Newcastle in the UK for 2 years, and I learned that on days when it was going to snow that I needed to factor in about 10 to 15 minutes of snow snow time into my lesson, because the first time that it would snow each week, because we had new students each week, there was always going to be at least one student in the class who had never seen snow before in their lives, even though I was teaching adults. So we had to have like 10 to 15 minutes of kind of wonder time, in inverted commas, while they could marvel at this amazing snow outside. And that, I think that was great for me as well, because like, obviously I grew up in the UK, so I have seen snow before, and just realizing, okay, not everybody has seen snow. Not everybody has seen it. Yeah. And it is a magical thing, even though I don't like it unless I'm on holiday.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Full stop. Yeah. Really?
Yes. Have any of you had the experience of having class canceled due to snowfall?
Well, I think cancelled not necessarily because of snowfall, cancelled because of incidents of snow. So the Czech Republic was geared for snow. So you know, it snowed all the time. And
no, same thing in Canada.
So
Canada,
you never really,
you can have like
really
2.5 meters of snow in front of the school, and they just dig it out and like,
yeah, it was just the whole, get in there. I mean, so. It's amazing. I think the best I can do on this, that one is I was inspecting a school, and that was the most bizarre experience, because I happened to be in Canada actually, in Whistler, which is the ski resort.
Yes.
There used to be a part of the affiliate network that I work for. There used to be a school there in Whistler, which was a language school, a typical private language school. But obviously, you went there to learn, you did English and skied. You know, that was their school policy was when it was snowing and there was a fresh fall, they would stop their lessons and get the skis and go on the slopes, and you would quite literally walk out the school door and get on the ski lift, which was there to go straight up onto the slopes. And I was watching an FCE, I was observing, so as part of the school inspection, observing an FCE lesson, and it started snowing, and that was it.
It just stopped. Everyone just put their skis on.
Skis on and off they went.
I mean, I've been in a situation where in Spain, on a rare time when it has sort of snowed, then the classes are all canceled because they're like, well, people will fall over, you know, the kid, it'll be dangerous, they'll get sick and all this kind of stuff, which is just crazy. But in the same way that a Spanish person would say, what do you mean you're canceling classes because it's only 40 degrees in the class, 40 degrees centigrade in the classroom? We can continue teaching in that. But
I was thinking about this in the UK. It's obviously, I go to the teaching university now, and we'd never cancel our lessons because of snow. But I was thinking, it doesn't really snow. I don't get snow. I mean, as a kid, I remember like snow days, which I'll talk about in a moment. I remember snow days going to Primary Secondary School. Deep snow, schools closed because it's too cold or whatever. I just don't feel it snows anymore to that extent, you know, with it.
Yeah.
Not in here, maybe in Scotland, but not
yeah,
here
in the south of England, there's maybe some snow, but it's normally gone one or two days later. Like, it doesn't tend to stay on the ground at all. And so, but being in Poland, where I was there for 6 years, and the first 5 years it didn't really snow either, and people kept telling me this never happened. And then in my sixth year, the snow stayed for about 2 months, and they were like, this is what it used to be like. And I was like, I'm really glad it wasn't like that for the last 5 years, because I really don't like it.
Yeah.
But that kind of snow you don't get in the UK. Rephrase that. You don't get in England, in the south of England anymore. I don't know. As you say, I can't speak for the rest of the UK.
No. Yeah. I'm sure the people listening in the Scottish Highlands might say, yes, it snows with it. Which takes me to my point. Sorry, Lizzie. Did I?
Yes, I was going to ask, what is a snow day in that?
Yeah, because but do they exist anymore? So a snow day. So when I was a kid, when it snowed a lot, the school shut and there was a snow day. You got a day off, essentially. You got to play in the snow, you know. And it wasn't necessarily that it snowed incredibly amounts, but schools couldn't cope with the heat. I don't know why I'm doing air quotes in the podcast. Doesn't really work, does it? Couldn't cope with the cold. So, you know, the heating couldn't cope. So they closed the school and you would have a snow day. Do you have
I don't, I, at the risk of showing that I'm younger than Sean and Lindsay, I don't remember that happening at all for me when I was growing up. But then the school that I went to was quite recently built when I went to it as well.
Oh, maybe so heating.
maybe it had better quality, you know, like newer heating. And so, because I think it is that this, it's not the snow itself that's the issue. It's the fact that it's colder and therefore the school can't heat itself well enough.
I think it depends on as well how much snowfall there is, because you see, you know, like I guess if you go certainly when you look at North America and their snowfalls, they have these, you know, huge snowfalls, so you can't travel through it.
Yeah,
in that sense.
I mean, but, so I can't remember something being called a snow day. I would remember like you can't go to school, but it would be so extreme. It would be literally because the whatever the snow clearing machines hadn't made it yet to our part of the city, or there was kind of like accidents and a like we're talking like lots and lots of snow that you would literally not be able to kind of get there. But I do remember that would have to be a lot of snow, because I have lots of memories of like walking when there were no, like the buses weren't necessarily running, so you would walk, and you would walk in the snow, like walking with my mom or something, walking me to school. And they're feeling, maybe it's just because I was small, but feeling is like there's an enormous amount of snow, and then seeing everybody there. And also what I definitely remember is the line of snow boots outside the class. So everyone takes their boots off, and then we all go into class in our socks, and then having class, and then coming out to put your boots on to go outside and play. But by that time, the snow on the boots had all melted. So you walk in your socks into what is like 2 centimeters of freezing slushy water, and then you put your boots on over that, so you get the inside of your boots, which is kind of furry, all of that's wet and cold, and then you go out and play, and then like you're just sort of uncomfortable for the rest of the day because your feet are freezing cold and clammy, and there's like a river, it's like a trench of watery cold in the hallway in front of the classroom. That's another biting memory.
And then you move to Spain.
and then 25 years later, you're like, I'm out of here. That's it.
I it's really interesting that I find it interesting, Lindsay saying he doesn't really know the concept of snow days, because apart from me being a kid, my kind of references of snow days, you see it on, again, looking social media in America, like when it snows, kids don't go to school. And this seems to have been a lot written over the last year or so, in relation to snow days, and whether they actually do, whether they'll ever exist again. Because the snow days to me is that memory of being off school playing in the snow, which I think a lot of kids would have. But of course, COVID's kind of spoiled
that. Your snow day means Zoom class.
Yeah, exactly. Yay. Yeah, yeah. So you know, instead of. It's a really interesting article. There are a number of references I'll put on the website to it, but I quite like the article, one of the articles I was reading, which was from a British newspaper, which described it of that visceral excitement of huddling around a radio. You can see the age here. Huddling around the radio, waiting to hear your school had been closed, and then the elation of that with it, which I think is quite there. And it's written by a teacher who then goes on to say, like, now it's 2022. We all know how to work online. So, you know, even if a school is closed because of a snow day, as you said, it's now the Zoom lesson, and there's no excuse. We all know, as teachers, we all know how to flip back into our online learning. So, we'll see. Yes, hopefully. So, you know, this idea, COVID spoilt it for everything, hasn't it? The more you go on, the more you think about it. So, yeah, so it's quite interesting to, I think, whether A, we'll get any more snow days anyway, as the climate gets completely screwed up more and more. But also, if it did snow and we couldn't go to school, it'd just be on Zoom now. So there's no going out to build snowmen.
No.
On that note, shall we have a break so that people can go and build a snowman for a little bit?
Oh, can I snow angel?
Yeah.
You can do that if you want to.
Oh, let's have a break. All right.
Hello, TEFL Commute listeners. This is producer James here, just popping in with a quick message to say thank you for listening to the podcast. Don't forget that we're available on all podcast players. So if you want to find us, the easiest way to do that is to go to our website, teflcommute.com, where you'll find links to all the major podcast apps. And while you're there, you can also find the archive of all of our episodes, going back over 100 episodes now, with the show notes and links. And of course, if you want to follow us on social media, you'll find us in all the regular places. Just search for TEFL Commute, all one word, lowercase. And finally, if you are a Google Podcast user, then I would recommend that you do that now, because Google is closing its podcast app at the beginning of 2024. So if you are a Google Podcast user, now is the time to get hold of another app and sort out your subscriptions. Obviously, first and foremost, get the TEFL Commute. Thanks for listening.
And we're back. So we've talked a little bit about snow days, teaching when it snows, going to school with snow, or not going to school with snow. Another thing that we're always keen on doing here, because we're all, well, I am a word nerd, but we're language geeks as well as language teachers. So we like to look at language and the topic we're discussing. And there is quite a bit to say about, well, not quite a bit. There are some things to say about snow. And one thing I wanted to bring up as a Canadian is an enduring linguistic urban myth or linguistic hoax. And it's called, it's got a name, it's called the Great Eskimo, the Great Eskimo Language Hoax or something like that. And what it comes from is from a claim that was made back in the 70s where they said Eskimos have over 50 words for snow. So first of all, this was made back in the 70s when people didn't necessarily know all the correct names to use for the Indigenous people in the north of Canada. Eskimo is not a correct name. It's more, there's the Inuit is the major tribe, and the Aleut is another one. Hopefully I pronounced that right. So let's use Inuit now. And the idea that do they have a lot of words for snow? And this was based on, if any of you remember from your Delta or linguistics degrees, the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis for language, that like whatever your experience is or your language conditions your experience or your experience conditions your language. The idea is that if you live in an area full of snow, then that will force your language to have lots of different words for snow. Yeah. So it became sort of a cliche. It was even the name of an album by Kate Bush. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Does she call her album Sapir-Whorf or 50 Words for Snow?
No, she calls it 50 Words for Snow.
All right. <Yeah? laughs>
So the idea was that this anthropologist, Frantz Boas, he was studying the life of, it's older than the 1970s. This is back in the turn of the century, studying how outside world influences the culture of different locations. And so he was with the Inuit, and he said, yeah, like this kind of became the story they would tell. You know that they have over 50 words for snow, and this kept being used as a thing. Yeah. And it turns out it's not necessarily true. First of all, if you roll in all the languages from the different tribes, because they spoke slightly different languages, well, yes, you can get to 50 words or more. There was also like that you have loads of words for snow and snow-related things in English as well. Sort of like we don't just have snow. You have sleet, you have hailstones, you have, there's a whole bunch of ones. Classifications of snow on Wikipedia, blizzards, cold fronts, flurries, squalls, etc., right? Maybe not as many ice pellets, ice crystals, and then scientifically all the different kind of snowflakes have their own names. But also it just turns out that it wasn't necessarily true. So this became called the Great Eskimo Language Hoax or something like that. What was more interesting also that I then found was that it was also called like a cliche. Yeah. And someone once then said that this is became a cliche in journalism, sort of like the cliche in journalism starts with, did you know that the Inuit have 50 words for snow? And then they would say, that means that other people would have X words for X, right? So it's like in German, the cliche would be like, and in Germany, they have 50 words for bureaucracy, or in whatever, they have 50 words for whatever, like all these things. Another newspaper article, auto manufacturers have 100 words for beige, which are all sort of like just cliche things riffing off this Inuit words for snow. And so this this was then given a term. A snow clone was for a term, like a journalistic cliche that people would like. It's almost like a semi-fixed expression. I'll give you some examples to give you a sense of what I mean. So 50 words for snow then gets adapted to be like whatever X words for X, you know, in whatever, or in ELT, we have X words, we have 50 words for whatever, right? Here's another one. In space, no one can hear you X. It's a cliche, like no one can hear you scream. No one can hear you order milkshakes. No one, like you can, you know, no one can hear you belch. No one can hear you, etc. Here's another one. See if, give me examples of this one. X is the new Y.
So coffee, orange is the new black.
Wine is the new black. Black is the new black.
Thinking. Got him.
The mother of all X.
The mother of all inventions.
The mother of all inventions, the mother of all bombs, the mother
of all wars,
etc. To X or not to X. So that's taken from to be or not to be, but then it's be like to retweet or not to retweet, to block
to
or
sleep
not to block.
Or not to sleep.
Exactly, here's another one. Have X will travel. You know, like have podcast will travel. Have Bluetooth earphones will travel, etc. And so these, which I didn't know before, are called snow clones. So do you both feel a lot clever?
I was just thinking that I guess a common one, if I understand it right, a common one in the UK would be keep calm and
yes that would be exactly, that's a snow clone. Keep calm and insert X. And I think this is also like would be like those kind of semi-fixed expressions then, wouldn't
it? I was interested because I was looking, because you were saying this 50 words isn't true. I found an article that said it is true.
Well, I then, because I went and I found like loads of things saying it isn't true. And then people saying, well, actually, it may be true. And then you sort of like, you know, this kind of going back and forth, you know, like the...
Well, the reason I found that interesting was because the person said it might be true. And it's a word I didn't know, it being as an analyzed language. She refers to the issue of polysynthesis. And polysynthesis is that a base word can be attached to many different suffixes, which changes its meaning. Hence the fact that 50 words could be true. Which that's I thought true. Was quite interesting.
So is that something like you were saying before, like snow, then snowflake? Does that count as a word for snow, or is that
In Inuit language, they would have like snowflake, fine snow, fresh snow, snow bank, but they're all one word in that language, all differing words, but to us it's
But I suppose
they're all
you could get close to that though in English if you
absolutely
it, like snowy, snowflakey.
Going back to the the theory, we'd probably do it more for rain in the UK than we would snow, wouldn't we?
Yeah,
but possibly.
We'd achieve that.
Yeah.
Well, we almost sounded like we knew what we're talking about with English language.
We did, but now this is the point where my notes have run out, and so
shall I test you then?
Let's have a test. Good.
So I've collected together some snow idioms, and these are all idioms that include the word snow. And I do realise that I'm stepping on Sean's toes here, because previously I think he would have done a lot of the quizzes.
It comes back, finishes the work, comes back to the podcast, and takes over my role.
Brilliant. Okay. So I have five definitions for you that are idioms, and you need to give me what's the idiom that includes the word snow that matches this.
Does it have to be snow? Exactly the word
snow. It has to include snow. So of the words that we were talking about just now, those compound words that have snow in, that's fine. But it's not, you know, it's not tangential to it. Snow appears somewhere within the idiom.
Okay, not like cold or freezing.
Yeah, exactly. Or not ice. Cold or freezing or ice. Even though when I was looking up idioms that contain snow, a lot of them were like 20 idioms for snow, of which only about 6 or 7 actually had the word snow in, and then it would have things like as cold as ice.
Yes.
And I was like, no, they don't, they're not snow idioms. So I've been very strict and they all have the word snow in. Okay. So here's number one. So if something small gets more and more important or more significant, what is that?
Both Lindsay and I looking like we've got a gun, Lindsay.
It snowballs.
I'm going to say snow and you say balls, yeah.
Okay, so it snowballs, but what's the name of that? The snowball what?
The snowball effect? Is
Exactly. No. Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all so right, being right. small gets more and more important or significant, then it's the snowball effect. I did consider including the word snowball, but then I thought that's not really an idiom, that's a word. So all of them are idioms. They all have at least two words.
So we did. All right. So I think we just got told off by Sandy there for not understanding the word idiom.
Well, also Mark reasons that my instructions aren't clear.
Oh, I feel like I was back in my Celta language awareness.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't ICQ. I didn't check how many words it had to include. So, you know, poor setup as well. Okay, so number two. If you feel overwhelmed by all the things that you have to do or all the responsibilities that you have, you could say that you are...
snowed under.
Yes, exactly. That you're snowed under.
I got distracted. Snowed under, right.
Yeah. Okay, so this one is a potential politeness warning, but if something has absolutely no chance at all of succeeding, like zero chance of succeeding, it has...
You know, Lindsay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go on, Lindsay.
Okay, a snowball's chance in hell.
There you go. Mm. If it has a zero chance of succeeding,
you don't
it has
know
a
that
snowball's
one?
Chance in hell.
Yeah, no.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There you go. That's one I've heard of. There are two later on that I'll just tell you and you have to tell me.
I think I'd be slightly more direct to that one.
Yes. <Wouldn't you>? The slightly lighter version of it is a snowball's chance in hell. Look on the internet if you'd like ruder versions of that. Okay. So
No, don't.
Apologies for the political incorrectness of this idiom, but if somebody is really persuasive and they could persuade people to buy anything, we could say that they would be able to... You know that one, Lindsay? Lindsay's not.
Yeah, I thought it was... it's like a British version of it. Because
maybe,
I thought, it was to sell an Eskimo a snow cone.
Yeah, or right? Sell snow to Eskimos. That's the
okay,
one
I thought
I
it
thought.
Was sell refrigerators or sell ice, but yes, a sell
yeah,
snow.
Sell to, snow to Eskimos. Or, I mean, the one that I would see is sell coals to Newcastle. I think
that would be the British version.
Yeah,
sell
and
coals
that
to
I
Newcastle.
Had never understood before, but now I finally think
yeah,
I did,
because Newcastle was where they create where they mined the coal and sold it. So if you're selling coal to Newcastle,
like the
it's
sell
pointless.
Coals to Newcastle also is like one of those idioms which is so common of idioms, people only say half of it, right? They're like, oh, well, you know, coals to Newcastle and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I've always been like, right. I've always nodded being like, what the all right.
Which I think is reassuring to say, you know, all of us grew up with English and yet we don't know all of these idioms. So if you're listening and you don't know them, it's fine. Okay, my last one in my little quiz. If somebody is completely innocent or blameless, they are...
Oh, I know this one, I think.
Go on, Sean.
As white as snow, or would that be?
You could say that. This one starts
that's
with
not
pure.
An idiom. That's more of a metaphor.
Is it
pure as the driven snow?
As the driven snow.
Yeah,
pure
yeah.
as the driven snow. And I always wonder why it has to be the driven snow. You can't just
what
say
is,
pure as snow, but it has
I know,
to be
but
pure
what is
as the
driven
snow.
Snow? Like, what is the driven snow, then?
I mean, there's a question, isn't there? I did not look that up. I do not know.
Pure as the driven snow, because, like, snow on the roads where you're driving is not very pure. It's, like, completely...
I suppose that's about snow drifts, because this is a really old thing, and so it's been driven by the wind, and so...
That's true. Not driven by trucks and cars on the highway.
According to the internet, because I just looked it up, it said snow that has blown into drifts and it is untrodden and clean.
There you go.
Yes, that's sort
pure
of very nice powdery.
So then I found three others that I had never seen before.
Okay.
So I'm going to do these the other way around. I'll give you the idiom and see if you've seen it or know what it means. So apparently another idiom is to do a snow job on someone.
This is a safe for work. I don't know what it means.
I don't know. Yeah.
Is it a safe for work?
Okay.
Yeah.
To do a snow job on somebody? Is it like to pull the wool over their eyes? Is it sort of?
I think
like...
it kind of is. It means that you're persuading somebody to do something, or by lying to them or deceiving them in some way. So you could say, you know, the politicians have done a snow job on the country or something like this. Apparently, I've never seen this before. Another one.
Have you ever? No, nobody's heard of that one. Yeah.
No.
I kind of guessed it, but
yeah. So another one, these are all safe for work, by the way. If you have snow on the mountain or have snow on the roof, you seen this?
That's the.
So wait, so like
that's the idiom. So
the
that's
idiom
the
is
idiom.
To have snow on the mountain.
Or have snow on the roof.
It's with have. It's not like there's snow on the mountain.
No.
Is it used to describe a person?
Yeah.
They're not very clever?
No. It means that they've just got white hair from aging.
All right.
I've never seen that before. I mean, I would just say they've got white hair or they've got grey hair. But apparently I can say they've got snow on the mountain or they've got snow on the roof.
Snow on the mountain sounds a bit nicer. Snow on the roof sounds...
I mean, that maybe that one goes with the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's where I was going with it. It kind of feels like that. It's something making the brain.
Sort of,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You got snow on the roof. You're not playing with a full deck. That kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I've got one left, which is if you roast snow in a furnace. Have you seen that one before?
No.
This is an idiom. Roast snow in a furnace.
Apparently, it's a snow idiom. The internet told me it was a snow idiom.
You roast snow in the furnace. You roast it.
In a furnace.
In
roast
a
snow
furnace.
In a furnace. Yeah.
So Sean was roasting snow in
a pointless task or something like that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say pointless. They say impossible. Like you try to do something that's completely impossible or futile or really difficult. So yeah, so I did those that way around
because
I'd never seen them before.
So getting all four podcast presenters here at the same time is like roasting snow in a furnace.
Exactly. Wow. It's really difficult or impossible or futile. There you go.
Yeah. But this is the impossible meaning, not the futile meaning that I used it as a...
There you go.
Wow.
So there's eight idioms with the word snow in them.
Thank you very much. I feel much more idiomed up now.
Well, I feel less clever than I thought I was. Yeah.
I'm going to try to use some of those new ones, except not the snow job one, because that
sounds
like something that like you wouldn't want to put into a web search.
You wouldn't want
someone to look over your shoulder and saying, "What are you looking up online?" Oh,
I'm just looking up the snow job. I think it's break time.
Yeah. All right.
And we're back the final little bit. So since Sandy took my quiz, I'm gonna have to resort to what Lindsay hates me doing in podcasts. Well, he probably hates me doing a lot of things, but primarily the jokes. I have no jokes.
Oh gosh.
Brace
yourselves, everyone. Brace yourselves. All right. Winter is coming.
Joke alert. Joke alert.
So, we should put some Game of Thrones music as a background to that little bit there. Let's go. All right.
Here we go. Typical question question answer form. Actually, most of the jokes are snowman jokes. But so let's go. So, Lindsay and Sandy, why didn't the snowman go to the party?
Oh, I feel like I know the answer to that, but I can't remember.
He was a snow go?
He had snow one to go with.
Oh, I was going to say he had nothing to wear.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So, okay, why does no one like meeting up with the snowman?
I have no idea.
Because it's snow fun?
Oh, that's quite good, Lindsay. Because he's always so flaky.
Oh, no.
Why was the snowman yelling?
Yelling.
Like
that's shouting. Shouting.
Okay.
Oh, come on. He was having a meltdown.
Obviously.
Oh my god. Someone put me in the oven and roast me like a snowball.
I've got a couple more. What is the favorite Mexican food of a snowman?
Is it like tacos?
No, oh, no, but you're actually on the right lines, unbelievably, there. Keep going.
No.
Oh,
no.
Burritos.
No, burritos.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
All right, two more then. Well, what do you get when you cross a snowman and a vampire?
A blood sucking.
No, the other way around. What does a vampire do?
Sucks blood.
So but how does he do it? Unless it's in its finest here. A vampire gives you a
bite.
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 So yes. If you cross your snowman and a vampire, you get frostbite.
Oh, obviously.
Oh.
I mean, honestly, I should have got that because I can't remember the number of times I've seen that in Christmas crackers in the UK.
But exactly,
I
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. But I usually I've had a few drinks and a big meal before.
But I definitely right. recognize that joke.
My final one for you then. What's an ig?
What's an ig?
Ig. Ig.
Yeah, ig. What's an ig?
I don't know.
No.
I should say to the listeners, so we record the podcast on video so we can see each other, yeah, and just looking at their faces at the moment.
That's no clue.
So what's an ig?
Go
it's
on.
A snow house without a loo.
Oh,
oh no.
That's really bad.
That's...
Shall all I leave? Right.
Yes, I maybe think we should all leave at this point.
I think I've just been roasted. like the proverbial snow in the whatever.
In the oven or in the furnace. Oven.
He just did a snow job on us.
That is,
all right, everybody, this is going to disintegrate. Like,
no, it's going to melt, surely.
Many snowflakes. All right, everybody. Thanks very much for listening. You can find out all our episodes in this podcast feed where you're listening to us. We have over 100 episodes. You find out show notes and more about the show at teflacommute.com. We're also on social media, and we'd love to hear from you if you know any other dubious snow jokes,
snow
expressions that are safe for work. Please do share or any funny snow stories. Thanks very much, and see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.